Pinterest that I mentioned before, where he talks about Lishma by get, and he's quoting mostly from Rav Soloveitchik. So he mentions, I just want to share with you, I have a sefer here, the Eretz HaTzvi. This is, those who don't remember, weren't there for the history of Rav Schachter's Sfarim, so now there's quite a few Sfarim, but this was the first one. This is the first edition of the first one. I was there when it was being prepared. I was in the shir at the time. I was able to be involved in the indexing process. So to kind of share that experience with you. So here in the Sefer, we've noted already a lot of what he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik on this point about, officially the starting point was that point about Lishma by a get. But the point that emerged is that the din of Lishma by Ksiva Saget is more than Lishma by other halachos. And maybe it's the same and more, because maybe the idea of it establishing the status of the object as the object, like you find by Sefer Torah and the like, that has an overlap. But there's also an additional din. There's also a din that this is a part of the divorce process, that the Ksiva Saget included in the Pasuk as part of what makes the divorce happen, so the Ksiva is a part of that. So that affected all those issues that we saw about Lishma and Sivoy Habal, the importance of Sivoy Habal. So now I just want to make reference here to a few points that he notes, which highlight that, therefore, the Ksiva itself effects to a certain degree the divorce, kind of like a mixas of the divorce, that clearly until the get is given, she is not fully divorced, and she can't marry anyone else until the get is given to her. But there is still an aspect, there's still some way in which the divorce process has started. So just to quickly go through some of these makaros, which you've seen by now. So first of all, and Dafir Chesem Aleph. So the Gemara has a discussion about when do we start counting from the get. What are we counting for? So there is a halacha of Havchana, which is an interesting sugya in of itself, that there's a din midrabanan, that when a woman gets divorced, she is not permitted to remarry anyone else until there is a three-month buffer zone. And this is the topic of the Gemara here on Daf Yichas. And in that context, we have to figure out, so how do you count the 3 months? The purpose of the 3 months is to establish that if there's any pregnancy that takes place, so then we know who the father is, because presumably if there's a 3 month space between the last time she would have been with the first husband and the first time of any new husband, so then that should be enough to be able to clearly tell if a child is born who that child comes from. Now, despite the fact that that's the reason, so there is still a low plug attitude, meaning that even if we know that she's incapable of having children or any other reason why it might be that there's no concern here, still it's applied low plug, and that's how we assume that there has to be a three-month separation as a din. It's not tied in only to the realities of a possible pregnancy, so that's a din across the board. So especially given that it has this component of just being an abstract din now, even though it's rooted in the concern of paternity, but once it's existing as a din d'rabbanan, it's treated as a abstract din. So the Gemara raises the question of when do you start counting from? So the Gemara has a machlokus about this, and according to Rav, it starts from the time the get is given, and that we could understand because that's when she's divorced. So if we're saying she has to wait 3 months after the divorce, so then it's probably more mistaber to assume that it should be 3 months after the giving the get. But the Gemara has an opinion here that Shmuel says, Mishas Ksiva, that from the time the get is written. And Lahalacha, it's actually a Machlokas. So it's not clear. It has a little bit to do with different Gersos in the Gemara. So it's interesting then. So why should it be that there is a counting starting from the Ksiva Saget? So on the one hand, so there is a certain svara that the Gemara does say in Nedarim, Bastaf Yomi, about less than 2 weeks ago, so a little bit of synergy on the Daf Yomi front. So the Gemara talks about various times in the Gemara Nedarim about various times when a person should not be with his wife. And one of them is, or certain types of relationships that reflect negative situations, and one of them is b'nei grusha salev, meaning that you have somebody who has decided that he's going to divorce her. So certainly, if the get has already been written, so it's understandable that that would be the time that you would start counting from, because then the expectation should be that there isn't going to be any bia between the husband and the wife at that time. However, you can see also that there is an additional component here, that what Shmuel is being mechadesh is that on some level it's as if there is a break in the marriage at that point. And we can look at it as if there's two parts, and this is something that's going to come out in a lot of these examples, that the relationship of a husband to his wife has the component of the heter of the isha to the husband, and also the iser on everybody else. We saw that chiluk playing a role in a few previous points that we noted. So here also, it's possible to say that even though there is no heter to everyone else yet until the actual giving of the get, but once there has been the writing of the get, so that does establish on some level a separation between this husband and this wife, and therefore it's reasonable, certainly for the purposes of the Din D'Rabbanan and of Havchana, to start counting the 3 months from then. This also, if you look a little bit earlier, on Yitzayin Amid Aleph, so in a very similar kind of situation. So the Mishnah on Yitzayin Amid Aleph has a discussion here about the dating of the get. So it says, Nichtav Bayom V'Nechtav Bayom Balayla v'nechtem balayla, balayla v'nechtem v'yom kasher. That's all this states in the Mishnah. That a get, which we assume the date and the actual writing of the get have to be consistent with each other. So, therefore, if it was written during the day, signed during the day, written night, signed during night, that's all good because it's all in the same zone. So there's going to be a synchronicity between the writing of the get and the dating of the get. So too, if the get was written at night and signed during the day, because since the day starts at night, so that's also going to be the same date. But what about if it was written during the day, v'nechtem b'layla? So if it was written during the day and then signed the following day, so then because that's the next day, so Mishnah, the Tanakam Mishnah says, that is puzzle. That's no good. There's a discrepancy now between the date and the signing of the get. However, Rib Shimon Machshir, Rib Shimon allows this. Shahaya Rib Shimon Omer Kol HaGitin Shenichtav U'Biyom Nichtav Alay L'Psulin. That normally, yes, Gitin here now being used in the general sense of contracts, of documents that are written during the daytime and signed at night, it means a different day. That's no good. Chutz Mikitei Nashim. So, it's only with general Gitin that you have this issue. But Gittin doesn't necessarily have this problem. So this affects, the Gemara gets into the question of why is it that you have dates on Gittin at all? Why do you need a date on a get? So where do you see in the Torah that that is something that has to be a part of the process? Don't you just write a get without a date? So the Gemara tells us that they made a takana of having a date on the get because of two concerns. So one concern has to do with Gilei Arayos, that we're worried that the wife was Mezana and the husband's going to have Rachmanis on her, so he's going to want to cover it up. So he'll want to pretend that the get predated the Iznus, so therefore she shouldn't be Chayiv Misa for this. And the assumption is that it's specifically if he was married to his niece, and therefore he has a pre-existing sympathy for her, and maybe not just the otherwise expected reaction that, okay, this is a wife who is unfaithful to him, but this is somebody he has rachmanis for because it's his niece, so therefore he'll try to save her from that, so he'll try to cover up what happened. Caleb?
So if the husband is, in Rabbi Yochanan's scenario, if the husband is having rachmanot on his wife, then why are they going to court at all?
So it could be that somebody else brings the accusation.
Why? How could they bring an accusation?
Someone said they saw, two Adim saw that they that she was Mazana and she's a married woman, so they come and they claim that she's a unfaithful married woman, and he's not the baldover. He's not coming in.
But can't they just say, well, you didn't see what happened? Or can't the wife just testify, well, you didn't see what actually happened in that room?
Well, however, we get to testimony on this as a whole separate discussion. The Gemara says, we say, hein hein edi yichud, hein hein edi bia. So if she is misyachid with somebody, that would be enough. So, but the issue that's going to be under contention here is, the Gemara is assuming the issue is going to be in contention, not whether or not there was a relationship, but whether or not she was married. So he could cover up the fact that she was married by claiming the get was given before. So therefore, Chazal, now it's interesting in general, how much there is a concern, theoretically, at least they saw a question whether there's a maskan or not, but this is mentioned as a possibility, that there's a concern theoretically that maybe she should escape punishment. So the idea that that's something that Chazal would make a gzeira for, and that's not necessarily so clear that's the case, but that's itself a interesting point. But the other reason is because of the peros, because the husband has the right to eat the peros of fields that belong to his wife as long as they're still married. So then we're worried about a different kind of concern, that maybe he'll divorce her and he'll pretend that he had not yet divorced her, essentially the opposite kind of concern. And she is off wanting to enjoy the peros of her fields, and he'll claim that they are his. So, for these reasons, so the Gemara talks about this issue of the date and the get, and the question of the right that the husband has, indeed, for this factor, to eat from the peros. So, here, it would come out that this is the reason that Reb Shimon is going to be okay with a get that is essentially predated, with a get that is dated the previous day, because it was written and then the date is from the next day. So why is he okay with that? Because in any event, it doesn't matter what the actual date was, that from the moment of the Ksivas Haget, so that's already going to take away his right in the Peros. And that as soon as he Nasan Ein of Lagarsha, as soon as he decided to divorce her, so that already is going to separate him from her in a significant sense. And therefore already the Peros is going to be is going to be separated from him from that point on. Another point that it brings here has to do with the concept of Reach HaGet. So Reach HaGet is literally the smell of a get, the aroma of a get. So that refers to a din that the Gemara has on Daf Pei Aleph about, we know that a divorced woman is puzzle to kahuna, but what if the divorce hasn't actually happened yet, but there is some kind of a whiff, maybe that's a better translation for reich haget, there's some kind of a impact, a whiff of a get. So according to Beis Shammai, that's already enough to puzzle a woman for the kahuna. So the language of the Gemara there in the Fpe Aleph is hakosev legaris es ishto benimloch. So let's say somebody writes a get deciding to divorce his wife, and then he changes his mind. So according to Beis Shammai, so she is pasul from the kahuna, and Beis Hillel disagreed. So what's the din here? So the concept of reach haget, a whiff of a get, I like that translation better, I think we'll go with that one. So the idea of reach haget, Rav Soloveitchik had explained that what that is a maisa gerushin without the chalos gerushin. So min ha-Torah, if a woman is actually divorced, so then she's pasul kahuna for that reason. And this halacha of reich haget means that even just something that is an active gerushin, but even without its full effect, even without its chalos gerushin, is also going to bring about the status of reich haget and pasul her for that reason. So one could say that that's what's going on, that the writing of the get, lishma, is already the beginning of the Maisa Gerushin, and that's the position of Beis Shammai, that that is why she is already pasul likahuna. Yeah, Caleb?
So would the nafka mina of that be that, would there only be a nafka mina if the husband's a Kohen?
No, for the next husband.
But... Oh...
I mean, well, because you know, how would it come up? He's saying if she's not going to be married, if she's going to stay, if there's no get anyway, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, let's say he dies.
Okay.
All
right.
So that could have a, so then if he decides to stay with him and he dies, so then that would mean.
According to Shammai, she'd be puzzled for Kahuna.
Right. David, was that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the Salvatric went on to explain that, okay, so that seems to be a good svara. That seems to be understandable, that according to what we've said, that the Ksiva Saget is indeed a Maisa Geirushin. So then we understand, based Shammai's opinion, that that already creates a Re'ech Haget. So then the question could go the other way. So what's Beis Hillel's opinion? So why did Beis Hillel disagree that they don't believe there's a din of Re'ech Haget here? So he thought a couple ways. One way is to say that this idea that a Maisa Gerushin is enough to create a whiff of a get, that that would require a whole Maisa Gerushin, the Gemara Maisa Gerushin. So therefore, that would require both the Ksiva and the Nesina. Or, you say that you could say as well, that according to Beis Hillel, we only say that the writing of the get is considered to be the beginning of the Maisa Gerushin if it comes out that he is actually divorcing her with this get. Because then we see retroactively that at the time of the Ksiva, so then the Maisa Gerushin already started. But if in the end he changed his mind, so he didn't give her this get, so in that situation, so then we would not call the Ksiva not only not the whole Maisa Gerushin, but we wouldn't call even the Tchila Gerushin. So that's also an interesting new level, is saying that it's unclear whether the writing of the get actually constitutes a tchilas gerushin. That when the get actually is given, then you can look back and see that there was a status from the time the get was written. So therefore, for example, these previous two dinim that we saw, the din of when do you start counting for Havchana and when is there no Peros? So there we could understand there was a whole get process that happened. So we want to know, okay, but let's say it took some time from the writing of the get and the giving of the get, so when do we count the months of Havchana, or when do we decide that there are no Peros? But the there, but in this case where the get wasn't actually given, so then maybe there is no conclusion that the writing of the get was the original beginning of the process. Did you?
According to the first idea, they said that it needs Gemara Maisa Gerushin according to Beis Hillel. Mm-hmm. So would Beis Hillel say that? Would Beis Hillel say that you also you're allowed to have Bia, let's say, even if there's a Ksiva?
No, presumably not, because they're still planning on continuing.
But he just said another thing is Re'ech Haget, because according to the first reason you said, because
you're saying if he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he changed his mind, then for sure they could.
No, but I'm saying even if he didn't change his mind, even, he didn't give it yet, he just wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
So that he doesn't agree with Re'ech Haget, because it's not a Gemar, Maisa Gerushin. So I'm saying, would that apply to having B as well, whether he needs a Gemar?
No, it's a separate
din.
Yeah, okay. Because first of all, you know, it's a question, the machlok is about how to apply Re'ech Haget concept, just to clarify that.
Right.
But the previous point about the Issur Bia, so that's not because of the Re'ech Haget. That's because it's also interesting because it's really a little bit more to say about that, because the idea of B'nai Grusha Salev, you know, the idea that the Gemara Nedarim talks about an Issur Bia, so that's not absolute. And that really, that's about taking advantage of her, essentially. And that what Rav Schechter's mentioned in other contexts, although I don't think he mentions it here in the Sefer, that that issur is really about somebody who has in mind to divorce his wife, and he hasn't told her yet. So she thinks she's in a happy marriage, and really he plans on divorcing her, so that's not proper. He's essentially exploiting her by continuing to have relations with her, and she doesn't know that it's essentially over. But if it's not in that context, if he does tell her, or let's say, you know, they've both decided to get divorced, but the process is going to take a while, so then it's not clear that there's necessarily an issur in that context, which really is relevant to this explanation that, and I don't think Rav Shekla spells it out exactly this way in the Sefer, but it's consistent with other things that he said elsewhere, that, so really the idea that you can rely on the assumption that there was no relation between the husband and wife from the time of the Ksiva Saget is not absolute. Right? So the fact that it correlates to Nasan Einov Vagarsha, that he decided to divorce her, clearly if he wrote the get, so then he must have decided to divorce her, so you can assume that it has activated that zone, but that zone doesn't necessarily create the impossibility of a relationship between them. But what you have here really is another combination of factors that, given what we said before, that Havchana starts from a concern about paternity, but Lemaisa ends up being kind of an abstract din, so you have to wait to 3 months even if there's no possibility of pregnancy. So you also could come from the other direction and say that the 3 months is just abstract from the time of divorce, even if there was a possibility of bia with the first husband. So this might be an example of that, that from the time of the ksiva of the get, so there's a general correlation to a time they wouldn't be together, but it may not be airtight, but it doesn't necessarily have to be airtight because the din d'rabbanan is just 3 months from the divorce to the next relationship. So if we say that the writing of the get constitutes the beginning of the divorce, so then that could give us the right to count from that. Now again, it's machlokas, so that's also a part of it. This is only Shmuel's opinion that says you can count from that, and it's a machlokas out of Paskin. So that also is a part of the whole discussion. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so let's try to get one more point in here. So, the Gemara a little bit earlier than what we just cited. So, this point about Reach gets on Daf Pei Aleph. So, on Daf Ayin Tesamid Beis, so you saw there is another Mishnah here that is another Machlokas. Actually, before we turn away from Pei Aleph, just you know, to make the point, I think I called your attention to the Rashi on Pei Aleph Mem Aleph, Ovada Mashnina Ani Migloi Milsa. Right, so there Rashi says it's also relevant to this point. Shuri Yilim Ben Ha'ir Likros L'Nesina Ksiva. Afal Gav L'Ksiva L'Chuda Namikar Ksiva Machmirin L'Mechash L'Kola. So there's in general kind of a intertwining of writing and giving, and that creates a kol, and that's a part of it, that the writing of the get creates a publicity for the idea of them divorcing, and that's the case. Okay. And just to make it clear, by the way, Mikhail, what I was saying to you before about a future husband, so I was asked, because your question was that only apply if the husband is a Kohen, but it certainly starts from the context of the husband being a Kohen. So your question was it only apply, it does, it could also affect the future husband, but it has this issue here also. David.
What about a case where the husband writes a get because he's thinking about it, but then he puts it away for a little bit of time, and he does go, you know, hang out with his wife? Then what happens there? There might be a problem.
So I think that there might be. So that also correlates to just how to understand that Gemara in Nedarim. So again, this is for the Daf Yomi people, a special synergy opportunity, but Daf is up to now, Chav Tes now, it's not so long ago that it was up to the staff. So special synergy has to be appreciated. So, you know, there is a lack of absolute correlation here because that idea of B'nai Grusha Salev is not absolute. So if you understand it the way we said it, so then it means that when he really decided to divorce her and she doesn't know, so he's essentially taking advantage of her. She thinks she's in a happy marriage and really she's not. So there are ways to vary that on each side. So if he's just thinking about it, so then that doesn't necessarily create that same kind of abuse kind of situation. That okay, so he's in the process of thinking about it. Now there are, and then on the other side, even if he's decided, but he told her, so then it's not clear that it also would create such a issue. So there's not an absolute correlation here between this point and a essentially halachic impossibility of bia, but it's enough of a correlation that it's mustaber. But to explain it fully, we need to really say a little bit more abstractly, and I guess this a little bit draws on our, you thought, unrelated conversation yesterday about formalism and consequentialism, that and many halachos are essentially formalist. So that especially sometimes dinim derabanan are formalist. So you say that the dinim was made because of the need for a 3-month gap to establish paternity, but once the din is there, it's just 3 months abstractly. So even if it doesn't make sense for either reason, either because of, let's say, the impossibility of pregnancy, or in this case, maybe there is the possibility of pregnancy, but still we have the 3-month yardstick, and it's always going to be 3 months. So we're machmer to 3 months to say that even if we know for sure there can't be pregnancy, still are machmer for 3 months. And this comes up a lot, by the way, because, you know, sometimes there's a lot of tshuva literature about this, and it opens up all kinds of other things. It's not really our sugya right now, but just because we're mentioning it, to be aware of the implications of din havchana. It has nafkaminas, bisman hazaz sometimes. Like, for example, there are, you know, complicated extended get situations. So without getting into the question of, let's say, a couple that's civilly divorced and not yet halachically divorced, so the question of dating then is complicated, not our topic right now, but, you know, theoretically you could have somebody who is ready to marry somebody and they've been separated in all other sense of the word for a long time, but the get has been taking a while, and then the get's finally given, so they still won't be able to schedule the wedding date for another 3 months. And that's because this din that applies, well, plug applies across the board, that's the case. And sometimes it could happen that there was a problem with the get, and they realize right before the wedding they have to rewrite the get, or some kind of an issue with the procedure. So then, because of the nature of the low plug, the derabbanan component, it could end up delaying things, because that's the way it is. So here, you could be seeing it from the other side, that 3 months l'chomer and 3 months l'kula. So here, even though 3 months may not be a perfect parameter, but we count it from the time of the get, and according to Shmuel's opinion, that is the ksivas to get. Now, I guess only one opinion, and it's not clear how we paskin, but it's a conceptual possibility. Shamueli.
If a woman has an affair while she's married with another man, is she technically usher to that other man, or that's...
Yeah.
So then what happens...
It's a disaster.
...if that woman gets divorced and then marries that other man, even though she had an affair with him, just from, like, a public policy point of view? Does the community accept them, because...
They're not... You know, so what any specific community does is for sure complicated, but this is one of the major, major issues and challenges of the situation of Bezman Hazah, and any time that the din is, strictly speaking, that if a woman has an affair, so she's asur labalu labal, so she is prohibited both to the
original
husband and to the person that she had an affair with. So, strictly speaking, we understand that, you know, and certainly speaking, we can see why that is. You know, it didn't tell her anyway. But the point is that there is understandably a knas, you know, that you should not want a relationship to be possible at this point. But it gets very complicated today, that a separate point, that was last year a terrible scandal about somebody who guilty of many things, including adultery, and one of the points that was made to his tremendous eternal discredit was how many gittin he's mentioned in, because the point of the get says, you know, she was permitted to everybody except so-and-so, and it was a disgrace of unbelievable proportions, and that was not the worst of it. But in any event, so the point being that she's lusted to both of them, so when there is a, so to speak,
know, full-blown affairs, so we can understand it. But a part of what gets complicated b'zman hazeh is if you have a divorce where the couple may not be aware that there wasn't a proper divorce, or if there was a questionable heter nesuin, either because of, let's say, a claim of makartos, a claim that the marriage was invalid on some level, or because the husband was missing and turned up again. So the consequences are enormous, because then even kind of an unwitting second husband who had no awareness that he was having the, he was halachically having an affair with a married woman, didn't have any of the other trappings of that, but it was technically the case. So it does create an isser on him. It's not so. There are situations that have come up where that issue, you ask how the community deals with it. So, you know, there was a discussion in a complicated situation where there was some argument levied against a heter for woman to remarry, and the question where the husband was alive, and the question is, you know, is there room for having the husband be convinced to give a get later after she's already remarried? So then the question is, well, that will accomplish leaving no question about the original divorce, so it's worth doing, but then that seems to cast very serious aspersions on the second marriage. So then the question is they still not on the same level? So maybe there's still room to be makel on the second question, even as we are looking for more halachic coverage on the first question. Follow what I'm saying? Basically, that addresses your question directly, because I mean, the point is that really, strictly speaking, in that situation, she should be usher to the second husband. But is there room to argue somewhat of a contradiction that it's worth having the husband be convinced to give a get after she's married to the second husband, and then still find room to be makel to allow her to continue with the second husband? So it addresses a little bit your question about how would the community deal with it. But strictly speaking, yes, the din is should be also the ba'al le'bal, should be also to both. And that's also a part of what makes it work. And I guess we'll just mention this wrap, and then I just want to mention one more point that we'll say tomorrow together with the parsha shir. But it also has huge implications for the classic Loguna situation, where it plays an important role in that idea. So when the wife wants to remarry and the husband is missing, so I mentioned when we talked about the Tosfos on Daf Beis and the Mishnah Guna Kilu Be'Rabbanan that Chazal worked it out that there would be a lower threshold of Eidos to allow a woman to remarry, but that's, they couldn't make up something nowhere. They had to function within the constraints of the Torah, because you're dealing with still the din of the Torah there. So a part of why they were able to rely on the testimony of one aid for that purpose, the Gemara Nivamas has a language, mitoch chumra shechmarta b'sofa hikilu b'tchilasa, that we can be makel at the earlier stage because of the chumra at the end. In other words, that the Gemara is assuming that there's going to be such a mess if she's makel without justification, that we can trust that she's only remarrying when she knows for sure that the husband is dead. So we're able to incorporate her confidence in the husband being dead as part of the heter, because she knows that if the husband turns up alive, even though she will claim, and maybe it's true, that she thought he was dead, but it's still going to have that consequence that she'll be usher to the second husband also. But the, so to speak, benefit of that isser is that it strengthens the whole process that allows her to marry him in the first place, because we're able to work off the assumption that she would only marry him if she was really confident that that wasn't going to happen, that the husband was not going to turn up alive. So all of that is relevant to that question.
It's consequential.
Well, it's actually not, but it's interesting that it factors in the intensity of the consequence as far as the birur process, that we are able to take the assumption that the wife is very confident about this because she knows that the consequences, even if a mistake, and we'll work off the assumption that it was a mistake, but that even a mistake will have such harsh consequences, so that allows us to be makel and to allow it to begin with. Hi.
What happens to that, when that woman now finds out that the first husband was still alive? What happens to the whole the ksuba? Like, does she get money off that? Like, is she considered married to the second man?
Yeah, so technically speaking, she should be married to the second man because the Kedushin should not have been Tophis because she was an Eishes Ish.
Right, so he doesn't have to give her a get, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Technically speaking, you shouldn't have to give a get either. Yeah, the get it's not. There wasn't actually no kedushin because we find this a tragic situation, obviously. So, and it's, you know, it's part of the fascination of life and its ups and downs, that the that tragedy creates the structure that allows it. I guess you could call it somewhat of a paradox, but that because the consequences are so awful, so then that is what allows one to progress with confidence otherwise because of the assumption that no one wants that consequence. Okay, so we're a little bit over time, so I guess we'll just film that one more point tomorrow together with Parsha Shir of Ravi and Toldos. Toldos, there's so much more to talk about, but I guess that's the also the benefits and the costs of the One Aliyah focus, that it allows us to pay attention to. I think probably you won't see any other Divrei Torah about that Aliyah this week other than what we learned together tomorrow. So that's part of the advantage. All right, everyone should have a wonderful day, a wonderful Yom Shiluchu Lo Koto. And we'll see you soon.